Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America? That our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events, and now an audio version of the popular speech digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
So there is actually no basis to say that this is somehow a political interference or a weaponization, as they say, of the Department of Justice. In fact, based on my experience, I'm shocked that Hunter Biden was even charged with these crimes. If you look at the history of civil and criminal enforcement of tax issues, and just look at Roger Stone's case, he effectively did the same thing as Hunter Biden, and he simply paid a fine. So the fact that he's even taking a plea deal, in my mind, demonstrates a two-tiered system of justice against Hunter Biden.
What?
So wait, what stooge was this that was talking?
Dan Goldman.
And he's from the state of...
I think Cali.
Is it Cali? I was getting ready to say, dude's from Cali, isn't he? I'm like, that dude's from Cali. So he was saying that Stone got... For the, like, basically the same thing as totally not even
New York.
Not even remotely correct. Not even remotely correct. We can talk about that all day. So we are going to actually talk about it. A lot of today. I'm not going to make it, you know, totally 1,000% Hunter, but because we got a lot of other stuff. We're going to smack talk like half of Hollywood, country Hollywood. Are you guys excited? It's Mean Girl Dana Day. Are you excited? Every now and then, you know, I just give up on trying to be like, new year, new me. And I just go back to old year, same bitch. So welcome to the show. Yeah, well, you know what? Some people need to get told, Kane. What's our rule, Kane? What's our rule?
If they need to be told?
You tell them.
Got it.
That's right. It's a Missouri way. It's a show me way, too. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Your lovable curmudgeon. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can follow along online. You can join the YouTube discussion. You can watch on Facebook. You can watch Channel 347, DirecTV. Oh, my gosh, all the choices. So we're going to find out the identity of Mr. X. I think it would legit change my name to that. At this point, what's your name, Mr. X? I'm because it's the whistleblower case, right? So we're watching these whistleblowers come forward. Well, I mean, not like right this second, but we're going to. They're going to come out. The hearing's going to start. I am I'm interested to see it because they're a pretty long term. A veteran of the FBI, and you got some IRS whistleblowers, which goes to show you. And again, coming as someone who hates these agencies with the burning passion of every sun in space, I just think it's good that we have some good people in these departments who are speaking out. And it's important to note that, right? It's important to note that. That's important. Because we wouldn't know about any of this were it not for these dudes. I mean, I'm assuming. I don't know. It could be chicks speaking out. So we're going to find out. We're going to bring you up to speed. These people are my best friends for speaking out like this. I mean, the agencies, I think, are beyond corrupt. And I think with the current leadership, they're beyond saving. And the only answer with current leadership is to totally get rid of them outright. I think I understand the legal arguments because I got some friends who work in law enforcement and who work in criminal justice. They're like-minded like we are. And I do understand the arguments that they give when you're discussing, you know, different legal, you know, how to essentially prosecute, go after criminals, enforce laws between the states. And so I do understand the federal. No, I get it. Please don't lecture me. I understand it. I agree with them. However, I also agree with the rest of us in that we don't really have a lot of faith in these institutions after everything we've seen, do we? No, it's, you know, I'm being totally rhetorical. We don't. All right, so going into all of this, this is going to be the hot thing of the day, is the whistleblower. Who's these individuals coming forward to, I mean, really tell all? I mean, that's it. I mean, the opening statement was released. I'm pulling this up right now because this was what I was reading. This is what I was reading this morning when I was having my Black Rifle coffee, singeing my eyebrows off with the super strength of my Black Rifle coffee and eating my scrambled egg. I was looking at the opening statement for the of this oversight hearing. And this is, you got Gary Gary Shapley, and the Agent X, right? And so Agent X, you got Gary Shapley, you got his, those are the two agents. IRS is Shapley, and then don't forget, you got the, and then you have the Whistleblower X, which is a special agent, and they're going before, the Shapley testified, I think it was June 1st, is when he first went forward. So anyway, the identity of X is going to be released. Each have opening statements. So X is a 13-year special agent with the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. Now, here's where it gets super interesting, Democrats. He's a gay Democrat. Dun, dun, dun. And he's married to a man. Because, you know, he's gay. What are Democrats going to do? So sidebar on this real quick. How are they going to sit here? How, if you're a Democrat, what is the MO for Democrats? What do they do typically? Let's character assassinate this guy. We're going to say he's gay. Well, hell, he's already come out and said that. We'll say he's with a man. Well, he said he's married to a man. What are we going to say now? What are they going to say about him? That is striking to me. That is how bad it is. You got gay Democrats telling on Democrats. That's how bad it is. So Whistleblower X's prepared remarks, okay? He gets into it. He opens it up. Talks about whistleblowers play a vital role, blah, blah, blah. Get to the T, man. Get to the T. So he says that he heard an elected official say that I must be more credible because I'm a gay Democrat married to a man. He says, I'm no more credible than this man sitting next to me due to my sexual orientation, my political beliefs. He talks about how he was raised to do what's right, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't really get into the alphabet nature of it. And then he dives right into Hunter Biden. He says, Hunter Biden should have been charged with a tax felony and not only the tax misdemeanor charge. He says, we need to treat each taxpayer the same under the law. And then he gets into the 2020 unfiled and delinquent returns. He says they were being prepared. That included his 2018 return during the 2020 time period. By Hunter Biden's own accord, he was sober, newly married, writing his memoir. And then he said statements that he made in his book, that memoir, completely contradicted what was being deducted as business deductions on his 2018 tax return. Holy wow. I got to tell you, the president's son might be one of the dumbest humans on the planet. I know Tucker used to be friends with him. And Tucker's one of those guys who's, you know, politics doesn't have to be personal. And I respect that. But dude, this guy's one of the dumbest people that's ever walked the earth. He wrote in the book, and this is what Whistleblower X stated. Listen to this. He says, now this is Whistleblower X in his opening testimony, recounting what Hunter wrote in his memoir. Quote, I hold up inside the chateau, and it's the Chateau Marmont, for the first 6 weeks and learn how to cook crack. Now, for this time period, Hunter Biden claimed business deductions for payments made to the Chateau Marmont, a hotel room for his supposed drug dealer, sex club memberships, falsely referenced on the wire as golf club membership, hotels he was blacklisted from, and a Columbia University tuition payment for his daughter. All of these items were used to support the willfulness element for felony tax evasion and false return, as they would be in any case involving any other taxpayer. He says these false deductions claimed by Hunter Biden caused a false return to be prepared that underreported his total income by approximately $267,000, causing a loss to the U.S. Treasury of $106,000. This loss is referred to as a tax deficiency. And with respect to the 2014 tax year, Hunter Biden did not report any of the money that he had earned from Burisma for the 2014 tax year, which would have been a tax loss to the U.S. Treasury of $124,845. Whistleblower X continues and states that according to my previous testimony, Hunter Biden did not report this income to the IRS or pay tax on this source of income. It's 15 pages long, his whole testimony or his opening statement. Man alive, I am so all about watching this. We're totally going to bring you like the moment okay. You know, when they were sitting here going yesterday, CNN, and they were all flipping out over what's his face? What was that guy's face with the sandwich?
Oh, Jack Smith.
Jack Smith. Yeah. Oh, Jack Smith doesn't care. Jack Smith went into a Subway. Jack Smith went and got himself a foot long, $5 foot long. I'm like that over this guy right now. I want this guy to come out. Take this guy to Subway. Yep. Man alive. So we're all going to be watching this. We're all going to be. Now, in addition, remember all this other stuff coming out. The FBI was the one who was tipping off Hunter Biden and the fam, telling the fam bam that they needed to duck some of these. They needed to duck committee questions. They were telling the investigator into Hunter Biden to avoid answering House committee questions. This is a bombshell letter. They said the agent who was investigating Biden was warned by the FBI to decline to respond to House Oversight Committee questions about the ongoing case involving the first son. Ooh. The quote was, "You should instead refer such questions to the FBI's Office of Congressional Affairs." They said the department expects that you will decline to respond. Wow, what a statement. Well, that's the statement. That's what they told him. This is what the FBI told this guy. Quote, "The department expects that you will decline to respond to questions seeking non-public information likely covered by one or more components of executive privilege or other significant confidentiality interests." Wow. Is that like a, that doesn't sound like a nice ask. That sounds like a threat, doesn't it?
Right.
"We expect that you'll decline." I mean, when are you just told what you're, that's a way to tell somebody what to do, isn't it? "Well, I expect that you're going to do this." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. This is getting interesting, right? I feel like we're like in the middle of watching like a series and we're coming up on, you know, that mid-season. It's, you know, we're not at the climax of, we're not going to, we don't have any denouement. We don't have any of that. We're like getting, it's building up. It's building up bigger and bigger. Mm-mm. So let's just speculate for a moment, shall we? Because I want to go back to Whistleblower X real quick. How is the media going to treat this guy? They're going to go after his partner. You know that. They're going to try to go after, this is the media's MO. They're going to try to go after the partner. They're going to try to get the partner, try to find some division there. They're going to try to, they got to undermine their credibility. Notice they've been going after all of these whistleblowers. They've got to undermine these whistleblowers' credibility. Are they going to say that he's not really gay? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what they're going to say. Well, he's faking it. I would not put it past. So, Kane, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to try to like dismantle this guy's credibility, or do you think they're going to ignore him?
I think they're just going to ignore it, and they're going to make sure.
He's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, they're going to make sure they're going to fill it with stupid stuff like Jack Smith eat Subway. That's that type of stuff.
Yeah, I am fascinated to see how they respond to this guy. So we're going to continue to watch it because, this is something I'm telling you what, this is, it's pretty unbelievable. Now, one of the other things we're going to get into today is everybody, country music, CMT. I'm not going to tell you what the C, they're missing a vowel, and then they it should be N instead of N, C, N, CMT. It should be N instead of M. I'm trying to be nice here. Hmm?
Stop it already.
Well, you know, because sometimes, again, what's our rule? People need to get told. So, Jason Aldean came out with a song. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I'm not even into, like, you know, pop country. I like outlaw country. I just like good music, period, of all types. But Jason Aldean came out with a song, and I read the lyrics. I saw the video. He's not wrong. Where's the lie? I mean, you know, no lies detected here. He's basically talking about if you FA and FO in a small town, you're gonna definitely FO. If you FA in a small town, you're gonna FO. Everybody knows this. Everyone from a small town, anyone near a small town, anyone that knows anybody from a small town, all know this. Everybody knows this. I didn't realize this was like hidden knowledge. And so now everybody's trying to descend on Jason Aldean, saying that he's a racist and that his song is talking about lynching, which it totally is not even at all.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently a U.S. soldier ran across the border to North Korea. He had served 2 months in a South Korean prison on an assault charge. And he joined some kind of little tour and then ran right across the border to North Korea. I didn't even know you could do that. He's the first American detained in the North in nearly 5 years. Private Second Class Travis King had been held on assault charges. He was released July 10th after serving his time. He was going to go home, be sent home to Fort Bliss on Monday of this week, where he was going to apparently face additional military discipline actions and discharge from the service. So he, according to officials, was taken to the airport, escorted to customs, but instead of getting on the plane, he left the airport, joined a tour of a Korean border village, and then bolted across the border, which is lined with guards and often crowded with tourists. But he somehow made it, and then they sent they shot off a missile. I don't know, because it's what they do. Also, this California Democrat has introduced a bill to erase the words husband and wife from federal law. I don't think that's going to go anywhere. ChatGPT's evil twin worm GPT is entering emails and raiding banks. You got to check for signs now, says Britain's The Sun. Coming up, Sheryl Crow weighs in on Jason Aldean. Nobody cares. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Your wages rising? Twitter stepped in to correct one of Biden's tweets claiming wages are higher. As food prices continue to soar, could this be why Biden's approval ratings on the economy are in the low 30s? Where should you turn to get real info on the power of your dollar? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Thank you. I'm just curious, out of the, how many earmarks was it? 2,680. How many other websites did you get a chance to check besides these three?
Me personally, I'm actually in charge of kind of the agriculture community.
But you know these three really, really, really well. You're very astute at finding every word in every web page. How many other web pages besides the three did you actually look at out of the 2,680, I guess it was?
Answering the gentleman's question, those are the three in question.
I'll take my time back. I got the answer. I'm taking my time back. You know, there's a saying. How do you show you're a bigot without saying you're a bigot? I'm just saying, there's a saying.
What?
I did not say.
Well, I didn't hear you. I didn't catch you, so I sitting down. You did not accuse me of bigotry right now,
did you? No, I said a saying. There's a saying. How do you show
that
you're expressing bigotry without saying you're a bigot, right? That's all I'm saying. There's an interesting saying.
You turd.
Yeah, but I'll continue.
The last set of gentlemen's words be taken down. I'm sorry. I request that the chair take down the words. It's not a motion. I request the gentleman's words. I
know. So this is Representative Mark Pocan. He thinks he's being so cute. He's in. He's with Wisconsin, and he's mad. According to you could hear in that soundbite. Because this is all going over the appropriations and et cetera, et cetera. He came, the appropriations committee, they were trying to strike from the transportation department three earmarks that has to do with gay stuff in Pennsylvania, Massachusetts. I'm not seeing all the letters because it's tiring. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. The alphabet centers. And he's like, well, I didn't say you're a bigot. Why don't you, hey, tons of fun. Why don't you sit here and explain to taxpayers who are broke as HD double hockey sticks why we got to be paying additional tax dollars through the transportation department for LGBTQ barbecue centers and all that. What the hell does that have to do with Department of Transportation and this appropriations committee? What does that have to do with it, Mark Pocan? Jiminy Christmas. I was going to say something really mean. Caught myself in the nick of... You know what? No. I'll get it out of my system here coming up. But what does that have... What does that have to do with... But he's like, you're a bigot if you just don't want to pay for whatever we want to pay for. That's what this is. I mean, Republicans were going, why are we paying for all this stuff? This has nothing to do with transportation. What does an alphabet center do? What are they doing with these centers? Why do you need one? Well, it's special services. What? I mean, you know, it's special services. Okay, what kind of special services, Mark Pocan? Good grief. And so he decides to call other people, I mean, a bigot, instead of just making the case. Make the case. Is there something that is needed that you think, I mean, can you articulate a defense of this earmark in such a way so as to prevail at, you know, upon taxpayers, this need to fund this special interest that you apparently hold so dear? Because if you feel like you can't meet that measure that's required of your office, then maybe you should not be in office. I mean, you have to explain yourself. You don't just get away with calling people bigots because you don't get what you want, Mark Pocan. It's not how any of this works. Gosh, I'm so tired of these people. It is absolutely tiring. They're like grown-up toddlers. They really are. They're grown-up toddlers. All right, can we talk about the Jason Aldean thing now? Do you guys see the video? Y'all see the video? So Jason Aldean came out with a song. Okay, came out with a song, and it's called Try That, isn't it? Try That in a Small Town?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try That in a Small Town. We all know what that means. Anybody who's ever been in a small town, we all know what that means. So he came out with a song. He's got this video. And the video, I mean, it's not, I mean, there's nothing in that that's controversial. Here's some of the lyrics for Try That in a Small Town. He says, it starts with sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act like a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't. So what's wrong about that? Let me tell you something about a small town, because my family came from a small town in Missouri. It didn't matter what your background was. There's just something about small town mentality that small town people stick together. And people who've never been to a small town, people who don't know small towns, people who have no experience with small towns, they don't get this. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. I saw the story of this ice cream shop owner in Oakland. He got held up 3 times at gunpoint in 1 week in Oakland. That wouldn't happen in a small town. They'd get their ass beat. My aunt, who since passed, she was they call them fill-in stations down there. They ain't gas stations. They're fill-in stations. But she was she ran the counter at the fill-in station, the gas station. And it's a tiny town. Tiny town, you know, way down in Iron County, Missouri. And it was, you know, the one gas station on this stretch of road for quite some time. And it was a popular place for, you know, the canoers to stop, hunters to stop, people, things like that. Had some snacks and stuff like that inside. But it was a pretty small gas station. And she never really saw anything that, you know, got funny. Everybody's pretty well behaved. Although she was a tall woman and mean. And word is she kept a pistol by the register. And she's mean enough, she'd pistol whip you in the street if you try to go sideways with her. She would not put up with it. And I remember one time I was at my grandma's house and they're getting ready. This is how long ago this was. I was young. I was young enough to still have a bedtime. And I remember Johnny Carson was on. I think it was Johnny Carson or it was Jay Leno when his hair was still dark. And I had some cousins that stopped by grandma's house and they were getting ready to go to the gas station because there apparently were some teens from another town and they were getting drunk in the parking lot and causing problems. So what ends up happening? You call some family and they come run them off and take care of it. It takes care of itself. Cousins stopped, told grandma goodnight because that's what you do. And then they went to the gas station to help out my aunt. I didn't even ask questions. Grandma didn't either. Just this is how it went. No harm, no foul, but it got taken care of because you don't need big government and people are supposed to look out for themselves. Maybe instead of bitching and moaning about why there is no lie in his song, maybe people in the media ought to report on why that is. Why is that? Why is it that there is this difference in how people take care of themselves and care for themselves? Another interesting story. Because everyone thinks that it has to do with white and black, and it doesn't. Now, the town where my family comes from, it's not entirely diverse. Now, there are black Americans. There's, one family that was in the town. And the son would, ran around with, my cousins and everybody else. Everybody was all friends and ran around. And there's a story of there was a dust up at the tavern. It's not a bar. It's not a pub. It's a tavern. Millennials will never understand that concept. And my cousin's black friend, who family lived in the town, was insulted. And they took care of the offender. I'll put it like that. There's a little dust up. Now, I think the cops had to be called on that one. But I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. Small towns, they stick up for each other. That's just the way it is. And my jaw drops when these people don't understand this. Now, I was reading all the lyrics in Jason Aldean's song, right? There is not a single anything in there that would lead anyone or suggest anyone to think that this is anything about race. Because the people that are making it about race themselves are the racists. He's sitting here saying in this song that some of the stuff that you see, Robin, like I just told you, the guy in Oakland, Robin, the ice cream store owner in Oakland, or trying to carjack somebody, that is not going to go over in a small town. And word travels faster than the internet in a small town. Now, progressives are desperate to make this about race, to deflect from the ugly reality that the majority of the areas that were destroyed and burned down by their violent riots were predominantly black communities. Y'all remember the picture of that guy in Minneapolis setting on fire? What did he say? He set some kind of courthouse or something on fire. He was a far-left commie progressive white rioter. And there were photos like that in Nashville. Where we're from in St. Louis and Ferguson, there are all these white progressive commie activists in Chicago that go out. And I'm not saying that there weren't black activists or rioters that didn't burn anything down. But it's the progressive mentality that does this. And it's the progressive mentality those are the politicians that act like they care about minorities the most. But yet they were out there cheering and bailing people out who were burning down historically black-owned businesses. All the media that was in Ferguson, do you think they were telling the story of all the black businesses that have been burned down? What was the one barbecue place? Wasn't it third generation owned that had been burned to the ground by those riots in Ferguson? I mean, there's stories like this all over the United States. It's amazing how these hustlers care about race when Jason Aldean comes out with a song that doesn't have anything to do with it. But yet they don't. When their mentality, their ideology is burning down black communities all over the United States in the name of some BS progressive lack of justice. I don't call it justice. It's an absence of justice. Their words are opposite. That's what this is. And then you got Sheryl Crow. The only thing that we have in common is we're both from Missouri and both our families are from Southern Missouri. I don't know. She came out there. And I haven't cared what she thought since never. She came out because Country Music TV, CMT, again, just add a U and switch out the M&N. They pulled, I mean it. They pulled Aldean's music video because everybody was outraged. And so you get Sheryl Crow out there. And she says, I'm from a small town. By the way, Sheryl Crow hasn't lived in a small town for decades. She went to L.A. She went to the big city. This chick has made her career off of claiming that she's from a small town while crapping all over it. Every chance she gets. I get so tired of hearing this. At some point, you've lived out of a small town long enough that you ain't part of it anymore. But here she comes. She found a way to be relevant. Here comes Sheryl Crow with her overly filtered Twitter picture. She found a way to be relevant, guys. I can talk about this. She goes in and says, quote, I'm from a small town. Even people in small towns are sick of violence. There's nothing small town or American about promoting violence. You should know that better than anybody, having survived a mass shooting. This is not America in our small town. Like, it's just lame. I know what town she comes from. My town's smaller than the town she came from. And guess what? In the town she comes from, they do the same damn thing. It's funny. She quote tweeted Shannon Watts, the queen of filler. Who's desperately trying to look. You know what? She made fun of my leather jacket. Do not correct me. She's desperately trying to look like Lana Del Rey. It's disturbing. You know how like when you see like Lana Del Rey and then you see like the Great Value version? It's very frightening. But she was out there going after Jason Aldean. And then she tried to take credit for getting the video pulled off CMT. I'm not even kidding. Somebody needs to tell that silly cow that Aldean's single is number one on all the charts. It's number one download. It's number one, but it's number one now. I think that Shannon Watts lady has been a paid Bloomberg stooge for so long that she actually believes that she has impact without being propped up by a billionaire. Didn't she go back to Monsanto so she could defend the forever chemicals in water? Because the only thing that she knows, that Watts knows about rural America, is how to defend the makers of toxins like Roundup that poison them. Might want to all check yourselves. We got a lot more on the way. Because CMT caving on this. Do they still show videos, number one? Like, did they show those videos? Who knew? But I'm so done with this. I am so done. I was telling my son, because my son's like, I don't know why this is such a big story. And I'm like, you know why it's a big story? Because country music is one of the few remaining icons of, like, stereotypical icons of conservative thought left. And previously when you would have war and you would, you would have Islamic factions that would, tear down a church and put a mosque on the site. I mean, Istanbul is Constantinople now. We all know the song. It's kind of the same way culturally with this. It is progressives and the modern day Jacobins that are going after these avatars of what they think are conservative representation, and they want to tear them down. That's what a lot of this is. It's why they go after NASCAR. It's why they go after football. It's why they've gone after country music now for forever. Kel-Tec invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Country, the bill that came out of the Armed Services Committee, a committee you served on, was very bipartisan. I think it had one no vote. It was just about 100% bipartisan until they came to the floor and started really messing with it. It's a tragedy. It's really sad.
What, a tragedy? Wait, she's she thinks it's a tragedy because the military, the defense appropriation bill doesn't have abortions covered and in trans surgeries where they're going to invert your willy to make a you're going to hate me saying it, but I think that we need to not shield ourselves from the realities of the situation. Invert your willy into a Frankenginer. That's what it is. I'm doing it in the nicest way I can. I'm trying here. Listen to me try. See how the happiness in my voice? I'm trying. Yeah. I don't, it's not a defense bill without these things. This doesn't even make any sense. We're in like clown world. Welcome back to the program. You're going to, I got a piece of, that I've been working up. I was going to put some, I may not do it. We may just put video out on it, on the Aldean thing, because this is, I think there's something bigger here than just country music. And I'm glad to see a lot of conservatives now, a lot of people on the right, a lot of independents saying, you know what, enough is enough. Stop this nonsense. Shame on CMT, though. They've been totally, I mean, they're corporate anyway, but they've been totally taken over by a bunch of soulless, glossy, Maren Morris type wannabes. Can't deal with it anymore. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way. Carol Roth joins us next hour.
Americans across the political spectrum need to have confidence that what is going on is based on the rule of law, not based on what political tribe you're in. And then the second thing I would say is this country needs to have a debate about the country's future. If I'm the nominee, we'll be able to focus on President Biden's failures, and I'll be able to articulate a positive vision for the future. I don't think it serves us good to have a presidential election focused on what happened 4 years ago in January. And so I want to focus on looking forward. I don't want to look back. I do not want to see him. I hope he doesn't get charged. I don't think it'll be good for the country. But at the same time, I've got to focus on looking forward, and that's what we're going to do.
That was a good answer. We were talking about this discussion that Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, had with Jake Tapper. He wasn't afraid to go on with Jake Tapper. But Tapper was trying to, I guess, pin him on some the J6 stuff or whatever. And that was a solid answer. That was a good answer. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this second hour. And the whole J6 thing, can you, somebody explain to me. And just the most lamest terms. Why in the world are they charging him? For what? For what? Why would they even, why are they mounting? That's what I should say. They're getting prepared. They're gathering their info. They think that there's some kind of chargeable offense as it pertains to January 6th. To me, that's dumb. I think that's ridiculous. I know Kane's saying that's the 14th Amendment wording. But I think that that's such a stretch. That is such a stretch. I keep seeing these because they were looking at, in this ongoing probe, they were looking at the crowds, they were looking at all, but they can't find the thing. Yeah, the insurrection and rebellion stuff. It's so stupid. He never said any of this. I mean, we were, I'm just going to tell you, I don't agree with Trump on a lot of stuff. I don't agree with him on, like, you know, where he was talking about due process and some of the gun control stuff that he had. And that's, you don't get mad at me. I'm not even in it. I'm telling you, that's what he said. I disagree with that. I think that he should have been more hardcore on the border with the wall and all of this. And there's a couple of other, you know, you don't agree with anyone 100%, right? I mean, even with DeSantis, who is the guy that I very honestly, and I explained this yesterday, why I prefer him in the primary. I'm going to support the nominee, but this thing with Trump, we carry this live. Dude didn't do anything wrong. I'll argue with you six ways to Sunday all day. We were live. Can you remember this? We were live on air. We were live on air. We carried it. We carried the part of the speech live. We didn't carry a lot of the lead up to it because there were wind issues on the mic that they had because it was real windy that day. And we carried his remarks live. in whole, because all of this was like kicking off right as we were going on air. I'm on 3 hours a day, every day, Monday through Friday. And then after that, and here was the thing, while he was on air still speaking, that is when there were people that were already, wait, because he was down near the ellipse. There were people all the way down. I guess some people who've never been to D.C. don't realize how big the National Mall is. I mean, it is not like, oh, we're here at this rally and we're going to break away and just mosey across the street. No, the way that I understood it from some of my friends who are reporters and who were there at the Capitol that day and actually had to be evacuated, some of my friends are saying that there were people that were there that had been there even before the rally kicked off. That's why there's all this discussion about it. Nobody's being straight with anything. And so this, you know, he was live still and talking and giving his address when a lot of that stuff at the Capitol started, and he was telling people to be peaceful. He did not tell anyone to riot. He didn't tell anybody to do any of that. It's so ridiculous. People can disagree with him without feeding into this BS media narrative, because it didn't. It just didn't happen. New York Times has this thing. It says, oh, Republicans are shrugging at the possible new Trump indictment. Good grief. I mean, there's just nothing there. We carried it all. If they're going to try to sit here and get him on inciting something, there's nothing there. I think that's the weakest thing. The weakest thing of all the stuff that they've thrown at him, I think that's the weakest, which is why I don't understand why they're spending such a significant amount of time on it. I mean, good grief. If that's the case, then when Schumer was threatening the Supreme Court justices and then a guy tried to go and kill Brett Kavanaugh, so are we going to go and arrest Chuck Schumer now? Are we going to go and arrest Maxine Waters? Are we going to go and arrest Nancy Pelosi? Because that's what you're opening. I mean, I'm fine with it. If y'all want to play that game, we'll be your Huckleberry. That's okay. I mean, we can do that. But that's the logical conclusion to this. I mean, let's go back even more. A few years even before that, the practice for the congressional baseball game that they have every year. And you had a guy who was a volunteer staffer with Bernie Sanders' campaign. He had a list of Republican congressional members and written rantings about health care. He was mad because, you know, he'd heard long enough, I guess, that, you know, Republicans are going to kill people over health care. So he decided, well, I'll kill them back. And he opened fire on a ball field. So are we going to hold Bernie Sanders responsible for that? I'm wondering. I mean, how far y'all want to go with this? I mean, we can do more, a lot more. So this is a witch hunt. And here's the thing that makes the J6 thing different. A lot of people have been mischaracterized by the press because there were people who were at the rally that never went to the Capitol. There were people who were at the Capitol who never went inside. There were people who went inside and then just stood around. And then there was what was a tiny percent that were very destructive. And I'm all for people who are destructive, because I don't believe that destruction, property destruction and vandalism and violence, I don't believe that that's not like a peaceful protest. I mean, what the hell are we're not CNN. And my taxes pay for that. My tax dollars had to go and pay to get that stuff fixed. So I get a little mad about that. So yeah, I'm all fine with going after the people who are violent and busting stuff up. But yeah, I have zero issue with that. And next, can the left say the same? No. But the problem, the additional problem, the bigger problem that I have here is where you come in on how you characterize or what you say about J6 has been used by the press and the left to really undermine any credibility you would have in discussing any kind of policy or political issue, right? Oh, yeah. Like if you don't come out and say, oh yeah, all of them, throw them all in jail, without noting that there were people who were there who had no clue what was going on. Case in point, I had a friend who runs video. He does works for, he's like a contractor for one of the wire services. Runs video. And he was there outside getting video footage for like, you know, it's like the B-roll that you see for like CBS, CNBC, stuff like that. And his wife called him on his phone. He was at the rally. She was like, oh my gosh, are you watching what's going on? Are you at the Capitol? You know, you. I hope you're safe, etc. He had no clue. He thought maybe it was a terror attack. He didn't know. So he ran down and was getting footage of that. And he noted that there were people who had no idea what was going on. Some people weren't even at the rally at the Ellipse. And then they were just, because you have tourists and people all the time in D.C. And they just saw a bunch of people there. And they were like, wow, is this a rally? Is this like a big tour? I mean, there were people who had no clue what was going on. And then there were people who thought that they were allowed in. But see, the media doesn't talk about any of that. And so the way that they discuss it, this is what makes people hardened on this. The irresponsibility, the reckless way in which they've reported on this has really hardened people. And I don't think you can't use this as like the yardstick anymore to gauge how hardcore, how red someone is. You can't, because they've screwed the pooch on this. They've abused people with this, with J6 for so long that they've rendered it, its usefulness as some sort of yardstick to measure, you know, your level of rightiness. It's just, it's invalid now at this point. And the left doesn't realize this. So when I see this piece, going back to this real quick, Republicans shrug at pot. You know why? Because of what I just said. That's why. Because of what I just said. This has been the weakest thing to go on, hands down. It has been, and the only people that were promoting, and by the way, no, Mike Pence did not have authority. Mike Pence didn't have any authority really to do anything. You can, the people who were objecting, and I'll say this before we move on, they were objecting to immediately certifying the batches of votes from states. They weren't demanding that they be thrown out. They were saying, we need to make sure they're valid. Here's why. I'll sum this up in 80 seconds. Because during lockdown, there were a lot of states that either disregarded their constitutions, like Pennsylvania, or actually ended up altering them, like Georgia. And they discharged a lot of their protections for the ballots because people were locked in their homes, locked down, et cetera, et cetera. So there were a lot of states that did not have signature verification, you know, post date on the envelope to where you could determine that the ballot was sent within the time frame required to count as in the election. And so there were, those are pretty significant things. States get to run their election, but if you expect another state to accept your state's results, then you better be above board with it. And that stuff actually made people think it wasn't above board. So you can, as I said, states can run their own elections, but if you want everyone else to accept your results, then you need to go by the agreement that all of the states had, that everybody has, and that you have certain protections for your ballot if you want other people to live by the results of your particular state's election. That's what all of this was about. And the whole pause was, can we just have a pause on counting so we can certify that these are legit? That makes perfect sense. But the media was pushing people like Lynn Wood and some of these other fruitcakes out there that honestly I think are progressive plants that were trying to tell Republicans to say entirely stupid things so that they would sound dumb and so that the media could then use that to try to discredit the whole. And they were the ones saying, oh, Mike Pence could have just thrown it. He actually couldn't have. I mean, I know some people are trying to misinterpret what the Constitution says, but literally he couldn't do that. Where I'm happy to do a 3-hour show on it. And I don't even like Mike Pence as a politician. But that said, this is why people aren't taking this seriously. This is a stupid charge. And then they see what everything that Hunter Biden gets away with. He gets away with everything.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is getting the largest upfront payday in Hollywood history for his movie Red One. It's a 2023 Christmas film. There's no details yet, but apparently Amazon paid him $50 million up front. That's like nothing on, you know, the end. Nothing on, I mean, that's just all. Wow. That's impressive. Good heavens. I really don't even want to add. I really don't want to talk about this story. I can't even believe the dudes are doing this. So apparently it says men, but I can't imagine using that word to describe the guys who do this. They're injecting lip filler into their male copulatory organs to add girth. That's apparently a real procedure. They quote this individual from Texas who I guess found that, why would you allow your, why would you go public talking about something like this? Why? And apparently they say it's a growing, like a growing practice. What is wrong with people? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. We're done. We're done. That's it. That's it. That's it for the show. Bye. Associated Press has a story of an Australian and his dog. They were adrift for 3 months and they lived on raw fish until Mexican fishermen rescued them. He's an Australian sailor. He was rescued by a Mexican tuna boat. He was adrift with his at sea with his dog for 3 months. He said he's grateful to be alive. I'm so happy that he kept his dog alive, too. He said that the captain of the fishing company saved his life. He said that he set out from the Baja Peninsula across the Pacific to French Polynesia. He loved sailing. You know, apparently he's, you know, decent sailor. He had a catamaran and then ended up, no, storm knocked out his electronics, his ability to cook. He and his dog survived on raw fish. And he said that they had been well provisioned, but he's like, there were a lot of really good days. There were some bad days, but he seems pretty, and his dog looks pretty healthy. Yay, I'm so happy for it. That it had a nice ending, right? Because everything else doesn't. Air taxis may arrive by 2028. And cops are searching a Las Vegas home as part of an investigation into Tupac Shakur's 1996 murder. That's awfully, like, out of nowhere. Carol Roth, you will own nothing. Next.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack Chapter and Verse to accompany the radio broadcast and, of course, the simulcast. Welcome back. And this, I was reading some of the reviews of my friend Carol Roth's new book, You Will Own Nothing. I love the cover of this book. I think this is one of my favorite book covers. Your War with a New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. What gets me about and why I'm so amused with some of the, you know, the meaner, progressive, status, commie reviews that they're saying, oh, well, this is just fear mongering, except it's not. And literally everything that she has said is going to happen. It's happened. It's happened. Like, oh, you just have to have eyes. Oh, my gosh. Joining us right now, our dear friend, Carol Roth, who she says she's a recovering investment banker. And she has a brand new bestseller out, You Will Own Nothing. And that's Your War with New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. Carol, congratulations. And you've been right. And I was just, you know, I was perusing some of the write-ups about it and it's like there's a stark divide. All the people that can do math are like, yep, this is right. And the people that want to deny the mathematical reality are saying, well, this is fear mongering. And, you know, this is from someone who doesn't like masking and, you know, thinks that EVs are bad. And that's not what your point is at all. I mean, you're talking about everything that all of these larger entities are doing in order to essentially control American wealth.
So first of all, I have to thank you for lending your name to this book. And I think part of the reason why you like the book cover, which I'm going to show the people who are actually watching, not only the front awesome, but Dana Lash is
back. Also
that's
my favorite.
So super cool. But yeah, so I didn't even know. I stumbled into that one review, I think, that you were referencing. Someone sent it to me this morning. I'd never even heard of the outlet. This outlet is so credible that instead of linking me with the two books that I actually wrote, they linked me with the children's book author, Carol Roth. So it says, I wrote like, You Will Own Nothing and Go to Bed, Sweetheart, and something like that, which makes no sense.
I love it.
And it really made, you know, it was really just annoying to me. It was clear they didn't read the book because the whole point of this book was to take the conspiracy element out of it.
Right.
And they just scanned through and they saw, oh, well, she mentioned Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson, so that must be bad. And it's like, okay, but I also mentioned Joe Biden and the Fed and, you know, all of these things that, in their own words, you've skipped over that entire scenario. And there was no sort of argument there. It wasn't like oh, you know, they don't, you know, Wall Street is buying up houses. You know, here, let me try and explain why that's a good thing, that one out of every five houses is going to a corporate investor instead of a single family when it's the largest asset on, you know, household balance sheets in the U.S. It was just like, oh, well, you know, she likes these people, so it's bad.
Yeah, you immediately have to be discredited. It's like this quasi guilt by association. Well, she mentioned this person, so she must be as bad. Our friend Carol right. Roth, her new book, You Will Own Nothing, really gets into, I mean, it is a scary vision of the future. It's not a vision of the future. It's a scary observation as to what is going to happen in the future if we continue on the path that we are on now. And Kane and I were just talking on break, you know, for instance, just about, I saw the headline about, you know, whether the Fed's going to consider increasing rates again because government can't stop spending. And we're talking right. about trying to control inflation, and they're thinking about maybe pulling the trigger sooner rather than later. And we're in this horrible cycle of the government's continuing to spend. No one can afford anything. Our wages aren't keeping up with that difference. How high are the rates going to go? I mean, where is this going to... By the time 2024 gets here, we're going to have anything left.
So, you know, the Fed has an interesting scenario where they have to balance making sure that the banking system doesn't collapse, as well as trying to control inflation. And the reality is that inflation on a year over year basis has been coming down because it was at such a high level before. Plus, we've gotten an assist because there has been a concern over a global slowdown. So the price of oil has come down. And so that's been a huge part of this entire story. So, you know, this could potentially go up. Some, I think that they will probably maybe go up a little bit more, then pause again. But I think the wild card really is the price of oil. You know, we had a very mild winter last year. And so that meant that, you know, Europe and in the U.S., we didn't have this massive desire and demand for oil over and above sort of the norm. That's, you know, not a strategy. That was a gift. Nobody did anything to fix that cycle. So if we get a cold winter this year, I think all bets are off. So we're just going back and betting on the weather. But the thing, you know, going back to this conspiracy element and what you were talking about, you know, things like the fact that our public debt to GDP is at 125%, and the IMF has said that the sort of place where that becomes unsustainable is like 70-80%. The fact that the Treasury and the CBO have said we're on an unsustainable fiscal path, like, are they conspiracy theorists too? Because I've cited where they say that. It's clear that the Fed has not held the dollar stable for the good of either the U.S. or the global economy. And that has caused the reserves to go down on a global basis, de-dollarization on the reserve level, that, you know, some of the BRICS countries are looking to start a new currency. This is in the news every day, mainstream media, corporate press. So where is the conspiracy element? Joe Biden on the White House's website said to the Business Roundtable in a speech, there's going to be a new world order out there and we've got to lead it, and explains the historical cycles we're in and the fact that we've been in the pole position for about 80 years, but that doesn't last forever. And before, you know, us, it was Britain, and before Britain, it was the Dutch. Like, this is not conspiracy. This is a history. So the idea that they don't want to address these issues and just brush them under the table and try to label it conspiratorial is almost as concerning as the things that are being perpetrated against us.
Yeah, completely. That is, and you're right. I remember we were actually talking about some of that, those BRIC nations with their own currency and the effect that that's going to have. We're talking with our friend Carol Roth, whose new book, You Will Own Nothing, Your War with a New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. One of the things that we talked about, I think it was like maybe one of the last times she was on, last time you were on, was the FedNow. That FedNow system that's going to, you know, faster payment. You know, they act like it's going to be this huge help. That I think goes into effect this week.
So it's coming into effect. I'm not as concerned about that as some of the other people are. And I think we talked about this last time, because I do think that's more of the settlement and payment. We already use wire transfers and ACH. But I am very concerned about the central bank digital currency, which they did a pilot program with the New York Fed and 12 different financial institutions. That has been completed, and they put out a report. It was at the wholesale level, but they said, oh, this is fantastic. And so once we go down that rabbit hole, then you get into a retail. The G7 has come out with coordinated retail phasing CBDC principles. So these are not the actions that you take if this is something that nobody's thinking about and is entirely off the table. And that's really scary, you know, both from a direct basis, just the further centralization of the currency, the potential for a too big to fail meltdown, and all of the potential attacks that are going to happen because we have no decentralization within that system, but also in terms of our agency and our freedom and what they could do to manipulate and control the currency. And, you know, particularly as we marry it with like things like social credit, which we have seen on an informal basis throughout COVID and how that impacted our livelihoods. A lot of people think about social credit and that freedom of framework, but they don't think about the economic freedom, the property rights, and how that was violated, whether it was your social standing, whether it was taking your job, whether it was shutting down your business. If you were in Canada and part of the trucker convoy, they froze your bank accounts. So, you know, that kind of a social credit implementation, you said something bad on Twitter. Now, not only do you not have access to social media, but maybe they shut off access to you accessing your money and being able to pay for things you need to live.
So there was a headline about Nigel Farage just this morning. That was like one of the first stories that I saw. His bank closed his account because he retweeted Ricky Gervais, of all the things. He retweeted Ricky, which, you know, he's like, I could think of like a million more comedians that are probably more controversial than Ricky Gervais, but that's apparently what did Nigel Farage in. His bank closed his account.
Yeah, one that he had been with for a very long period of time, ostensibly. And so now you have, you know, these infrastructure institutions where you don't have a lot of free choice. And they're really part of, you know, making sure that you can participate in society, now weighing in on whether you're part of right think or wrong think and the implications around that. Not to mention, you know, we talk about the home, you know, as we have these corporations who are now competing with you to buy a home and rent you the American dream. One of the conversations I had is, imagine that with social credit. So not only have they taken away, you know, your opportunity to generate wealth, but now you're under somebody else's purview, who, by the way, is probably backed by one of these big banks that's, you know, touting ESG and whatever. And now you do something that is, you know, quote unquote, bad social credit. Do you lose your housing? I mean, these are things that I don't think people have thought about. If you had talked about this 10 years ago, I might have thought it was far-fetched. But having done this research for You Own Nothing and going through the last 3 years, I don't think we can dismiss that anymore.
And to your point, we're talking with our friend Carol Roth, her new book, You Will Own Nothing, which is out this week. I don't remember if I told you this out today. I don't remember if I told you this before. When we sold our last house, it was the first house we bought when we moved to Texas. And this was a number of years ago. And this was the first time I've ever seen anything like this. And this was before everyone was talking about BlackRock buying up properties. You know, we had Texas, a very competitive, you know, housing market because everybody's coming in from California. We had all these offers on our house. And it was weird because the highest offer, they were going above what was offered and no strings, nothing, but it was a company.
Right.
Everyone else was a family. And I was not familiar with that. And, you know, I'm not like into Trump levels of real estate or anything. And I know what I know and I know what I don't. But I thought, that's kind of weird. I've never seen that. And it freaked me out. And I didn't want to sell it to him.
This is a thing that you have to do and you have to fight back. So the reason why you're not familiar with this is because it didn't exist before 2010. Ooh. Before the Fed manipulated monetary policy and gave all of this cheap, easy money to Wall Street in, you know, droves and on pallets, basically, you know, they drove up every asset class. They didn't have anywhere else to put their money. So they went, maybe we'll buy homes. That sounds great. And so that enabled this transfer of wealth from Main Street to Wall Street. And now you have these companies, they're coming and they're buying up more than one out of every five homes in the United States as of the end of last year. And they don't want to fix it up and, you know, sell it to the next person. They want to rent you the American dream. They want to take that you know, generational wealth opportunity away from you, and they want to transfer that to Wall Street. And these companies, they've got tens of thousands of homes. One of the things I did in the book is I just went to their financial filings, the 10-Ks and the annual reports, and I just showed their language. Again, apparently that's a scaremongering of, you know, conspiracy theory, according to the reviews. But I told you what they said, and they said they go after the middle class because they have the jobs and the ability to pay. And this is a golden opportunity and a once in a generation asset class. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so this is a fantastic way for you to fight back. If you own a house, yes, I want you to get the best price possible, but maybe don't get that extra couple thousand dollars and don't sell it to a corporation.
That's a great point. I mean, it is amazing all of the different ways that they are, I mean, conspiring to, and I love how you put it. I mean, you can rent the American dream. You don't get to own it because you own nothing, but you get to rent the American dream. This is a must read book. I'm so happy that you wrote this book, and I'm so grateful that you're sharing your expertise on this with everyone else and coming on and sharing it with us as well. Carol Roth, You Will Own Nothing. Go and get this book if you have not purchased it already. Get a couple copies. Give it to someone who's mathematically less inclined than you, because we have an economic illiteracy, an epidemic of illiteracy as it relates to economics in this country. Carol Roth, congratulations. Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Yes. Thank you for your support. And remember, the elites want you to own nothing, but Dana and I want you to own everything. So woo-hoo. Get the plan to fight back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You Will Own Thanks, Nothing Stop. Out today. Go and get the book. Our friend Carol Roth.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So this was a 58-year-old Florida man in Boca Raton. He was arrested. This was Friday night because he was... This is so weird. He's in Palm Beach County Jail on $10,000 bond. And he saw a group of four kids walking down the street. He was hiding in the bushes. This guy, this weirdo, Brian Wood, 58 years old, was hiding in the bushes wearing a black shirt with shorts pulled down and his underwear up. And as the juveniles walked by, I guess he came out of the bushes and said, "You aren't real, you're demons." And then he pulled down his underwear. Oh my gosh. So the juveniles, the kids obviously became frightened and they ran into a KFC. And then not long after, the Boca Raton police responded to a 911 caller who's the kids' basketball coach. The kids' basketball coach came to meet with them or came to stay with the kids and wait for the police, Charles Coughlin. And so the coach told the officer that he found Wood less than a half a mile away where he made the emergency call. The 58-year-old was found and taken into custody. Now, Wood says that he said he admitted to talking to the juveniles, the kids, but he said he didn't pull his pants down, which we all know is a lie. So, I mean, is that how he thinks you solve the demon problem? Apparently. Just, oh my gosh, this is good grief. I would totally do this 6 ways to Sunday. I don't know if y'all saw this or not, but this Florida man, it's a video of a Florida man legit wrestling a black bear who tried to get at his dogs on his porch. The man, Walt Hickox, which is, that's a cowboy name if I've ever heard one. He, at least one of the man's dogs was on the porch with him. He's hanging out. I mean, nice evening. You know, he's out on his porch. And it was Daytona Beach. And one of the man's dogs is out on the porch with him. A black bear decided to come on over. And then a second predator burst through the door. And that's when he lost his mind and blocked the entrance. And he was able to get his dog back in the house. But he was wrestling with this bear on video. And they had Florida Fish and Wildlife come out. So that's pretty amazing. I would totally do that, too. Florida man caught a burglar sleeping in his front yard. When you burgle a home, aren't you supposed to leave it after? Jackson County, Florida. Florida man was prompted to call police. He woke up to the very unusual sight of a Florida man sleeping on his front yard. And this was like 5:30 in the morning. Deputies got a call from the victim saying that he found a man in the yard. And when the victim tried to make contact with the suspect started frantically reaching inside of his vehicle. And the victim had armed himself with a weapon for protection. When deputies arrived, they secured the suspect and the victim's weapon. But then they saw all the burglary tools and a mask in plain view right there in his seat, right there in the car. And they found also, after a simple search of the vehicle, a crowbar, a lockpick, gloves, masks, knives, brass knuckles, prescription medication not prescribed to the suspect, and all kinds of drug paraphernalia. And, of course, the perp, Charles Carter, has a lengthy record. He was taken into custody. Yikes. Left it right out. He fell asleep. How do you fall asleep on the job when you're a burglar? Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
I will also note that while the impression has been conveyed by the U.S. attorney in Delaware that he has similar powers to that of a special counsel in this case, free rein to do as needed, that was not the case. It appeared to me, based on what I experienced, that the U.S. attorney in Delaware in our investigation was constantly hamstrung, limited, and marginalized by DOJ officials, as well as other U.S. attorneys. I still think that a special counsel is necessary for this investigation.
Man, welcome back to the show. That is Whistleblower X, Joseph Ziegler. He is the guy who worked in the IRS investigative division for over a decade. And in his opening statement here before the House Oversight Committee, Ziegler accuses the Department of Justice of obstructing the probe against Hunter Biden, which would then mean that Merrick Garland lied under oath. And while we suspected it, it's pretty damn definitive now. Top of this third hour on this Wednesday, your lovable curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm watching the testimony of this guy, Joseph Ziegler. And I'm saying this because the left, I don't care. He seems more rule of law than anything else. He's a gay Democrat and he says he's married to a man. Well, he's a gay man, so that makes sense. But in his opening statement that I was sharing with you at the top of the show, he was very indignantly shrugging off that identity politic identifier and saying that the law should be equally applied no matter what. And that's, he said it, he said that sentiment three different ways in his opening statement. And I was watching his body language in some of this, and I'm watching it now. I got have it up on my monitor. I'm watching this now. It's ongoing. He is livid. Now he, you know, speaking very calmly, he's got a lot of energy. This is the body language of a guy who is enraged. He's sitting there. He's got his arms pressed. He is like ramrod straight, and he's shifting in his seat, and he's making eye contact. And his movements are just aggressive enough. I mean, I'm looking at his body language. He's a guy who's righteously indignant. He's mad. And if this, I mean, I don't, if he was a Republican, Democrat, if this was about a Republican son, I find this guy compelling just because of his body language and his voice. Because he is got the energy and the confidence in his voice of someone who is going to fist fight you because he's done with it. That's what, you know, all the, get rid of that Jack Smith going to Subway. Let's have, let's talk about this Joseph Ziegler. I'm more interested in what he's doing. But the big thing is he's hitting on the rule of law. I mean, he noted in his opening statement, because I shared with you, I read parts of the opening statement with you. And then he was saying in his remarks before House Oversight, he said, I'll note that while the impression has been conveyed by that U.S. attorney in Delaware, and we were talking about this, he says that he's got similar powers to that of a special counsel. He's like, you know, in this case, to do free reign as needed. He goes, that wasn't the case. He's like, they were constantly hamstrung, limited, marginalized by DOJ officials and other U.S. attorneys. And he says the justice, oh, man. This is wild. Merrick Garland lied. Yep. Well, we know he did, but now I think it's pretty damn definitive. How many times did he say, well, I am not obstructing anything?
Every time.
Every single time. Didn't he have a special press? He had a special press conference on this, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He had a special press conference. Lorraine, who is moderating the YouTube chat discussion, and she has pieces over at Chapter and Verse on Substack, she's following this as well. And she noted that Ziegler was, I mean, because he's pushing back. He's giving it as good as he's getting it with some of the questioning. He was saying that Hunter and his business associates got over $3 million from Romania. He was saying that the amount from Burisma was like $6.5 million. Ziegler said that everyone agreed to have brought felony accounts for 2014 and 2015. And he said they were agreeing on this. Felonies for 2018 and 2019. And he said that it would have to be charged, you know, he's talking to Delaware and Los Angeles. He said, but then after meeting with the LA attorney, Weiss changed his mind and reduced them to misdemeanors, only charge him in Delaware. Ziegler says he was hamstrung by DOJ. Ziegler's talking with his hands right now. He is throwing his hands out. He's mad. I mean, this is something else. Listen to some of this. This is what he was telling the House Oversight Committee.
Let's get into the evidence, Mr. Ziegler. I want to direct you to pages 99 and 100 of your transcript. How much money did Hunter Biden and his associates receive from the Romanian company you identified?
So that amount would be from Romania. So the approximate total transfers from the Romania company would have been $3.1 million to everyone.
$3.1 million. How much did Hunter Biden and his business associates receive from State Energy HK Limited through the Robinson Walker LLC?
So total transfers from State Energy HK to Rob Walker was $3
million. $3 million. Was there a $100,000 payment from CEFC Infrastructure to Owasco PC, Hunter Biden's professional corporation?
Yes, Chairman.
Approximately how much was transferred to Hunter Biden and his business associates through Hudson West 3?
So the total transfers from Hudson West 3 to everyone was $3.7
million. $3.7 million. How much money did Hunter Biden and his business associates receive from the Ukrainian company Burisma?
Burisma paid to everyone involved $6.5 million.
$6.5 million. Burisma also paid Blue Star Strategies and a law firm hundreds of thousands of dollars, bringing the total Burisma payments to over $7 million. Is that correct?
That is correct. $7.3
million. $7.3 million. Between 2014 and 2019, this brings the total amount of foreign income streams received to approximately $17 million, correct?
That is correct.
Damn. I mean, have fun going after him, Democrats. You have a lot of fun going after this guy. Good grief, because I don't think he's man alive. This is something else. And he's, and this is, if you're, that's the, again, the IRS special agent, Joseph Ziegler, whistleblower X. He says, in one of his, in his opening statement, he said that he witnessed, I'm quoting him, the corrosion of ethical standards and the abuse of power that threatens our nation. And it's within this context that I've chosen to shed light on these actions and expose those responsible. He goes, I sit here before you not as a hero or as a victim, but as a whistleblower compelled to disclose the truth. I believe I'm risking my career, my reputation, and my casework outside of the investigation that we are here to discuss. And he said, I made the decision to come forward after what I believe were multiple attempts at blowing the whistle at the IRS. No one should be above the law, regardless of your political affiliation. That's the kind of stuff that helps to restore people's belief in the ability of people in different forms of government to do their job, different positions of government to do their job. And he's demanding a special counsel. Now, one of the things that Kane and I were talking about too, because I mean, the stuff that's coming out of here is because and Lorraine noted this as well. Ziegler told Raskin, if you got a felony charge, the rule is then you have to charge it. And you have to. And they're not. They kept, I mean, in LA, they reduced it down to a misdemeanor. Oh my gosh, how many people are getting hit with IRS stuff for less? I mean, Denzel did way less. I'm just saying, you know. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy. I know Denzel was Wesley Snipes, wasn't it? When Wesley Snipes got in trouble with IRS?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I think Wesley was way less than Hunter. They came for Wesley. They came for Blade. You don't come for Blade. Now, Kane and I were talking on break because this means unequivocally, I there is no way to explain how so many charges were reduced or dropped or something was changed or not done unless you have the intervention of the DOJ. And there's no way that an underling at the DOJ is going to do this if it doesn't come from top down. So Kane and I were saying, all right, well, you know, I mean, obviously you got to impeach Merrick Garland. I totally agree. And Raskin's just being an absolute rat bastard in this. He is. He's going after Ziegler, trying to discredit him over his statements. Did you have that? Is that what you have?
Yeah, I was like looking at the
clip. Yeah. This is some of Raskin being I can't say what Kane said in Slack. But Kane says that he does not like Raskin
right
now.
Is that familiar to you, that kind of decision by a prosecutor?
So I can't speak to anything related to the Trump investigation, but the issue here with this case is that it wasn't just investigators that agreed with these charges. In Exhibit 2 in my testimony, it clearly shows a prosecution recommendation report where it says right in the document that the Assistant United States Attorneys and Department of Justice Tax Division agreed with those recommended charges. And then again, and as Special Agent Ziegler alluded to, in late 2022.
And they were recommended to whom?
To Department of Justice. So the prosecution recommendation report is referred to the Department of Justice Tax Division for approval, discretion, or declination.
Right, but then it all went to the U.S. Attorney in Delaware, right?
So that's not entirely accurate because, Department of Justice Tax Division up through March 16th of 2023 had not yet approved, provided discretion, or declined charges. So U.S. Attorney Weiss had no authority to charge any of those charges without the Department of Justice Tax Division's approval beforehand.
It's like, come on.
I mean, this is, golly.
Garland lied.
Unequivocally. Now, the House, because I saw some people saying, oh, well, they got to impeach him. You know, you better do your job, Kevin McCarthy. Well, yeah, Kevin McCarthy, the House can vote to impeach him, and then that's it. It's not going to get tried. And that's not because of Republicans. Because that's not how it works. The Senate tries impeachments. We don't run the Senate. We run the House. And they can vote for impeachment. Senate tries it. That's how it works. You think Schumer's going to go for that? They're going to try to do to this what they did to the Supreme Court leaker. What they've done to everything else. They're going to try to bury it. Now, instead of arguing over what the Republicans should do in terms of impeachment, how do you stop them from burying this? And what can be done? That's the question. And who controls the power of the purse? Republicans. Is there a way they can leverage NDAA over this or anything else? That's where the conversation needs to go.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Apparently, according to The Hill, Chuck Schumer is proposing new UFO legislation. It's a bipartisan effort along with five other senators. I don't care. Impeach Merrick Garland. They said it's non-human intelligence. Everyone's talking about how stunning it is. I suddenly don't care about anything else they do unless they vote to impeach him. And then the Senate tries it. Right? I don't care if an alien can come down from the sky in its little aircraft. And it can say, take us to your leader. And I will say, wait a minute, hold up, because we're going to try a impeachment first. So sit the hell down back in your little spaceship, Martian. Go ahead. Chill. Chill out, little Martian. Maybe they're not little. You don't know. That's also a sidebar. Great rap name. Little Martian. Humans' ancestors, dogs, bats may have coexisted with dinosaurs, according to a study. I thought that this was already kind of known. This is peer-reviewed research published in Current Biology, and they used statistical analysis of fossils to determine whether or not placental mammals lived before dinosaurs' extinctions. And they're looking at fossils of placental mammals. They've been found in rocks that date less than or fewer than 66 million years. This is after a time when the asteroid hit the Earth, causing mass extinctions, et cetera, et cetera. So I just always thought that humans and dinosaurs, wasn't that already kind of developed? Like, wasn't that already kind of figured out? I mean, at least I thought so. I thought it was anyway. Also, this comes from a couple different sources. Bob Iger is reportedly, this is the rumor going around, a lot of credible people believe it, is reportedly preparing to sell Disney, according to rumors about this transaction. This is after the story coming out that he was looking to put their television assets up. But apparently they're trying to, they've had acquisitions like Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, etc. But the streaming business is expected to register a loss of about $800 million in their just ended third quarter. And so now they're looking at maybe perhaps selling it. So I don't know, maybe it's Apple, because there's been a lot of discussions, a lot of rumors about Disney selling to Apple. We'll see. But one headline said Bob Iger shifts from building an empire to a Disney yard sale. That's appropriate, though. I don't feel bad for him. And Joe Biden is looking to now crack down on dishwashers, although it is facing some opposition. Regulations targeting dishwashers. It's the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which has been pushing back. The DOE wants to tighten energy and water efficiency to make everything suck and not get clean. That's just, let's just long story short. So coming up, the hearing is underway. Whistleblower X has been ID'd. Mayor Garland lied under oath. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Well, coming back to the October 7th, 2022 meeting, Mr. Shapley, according to you on page 155, Mr. Weiss said that, quote, he decided not to charge 2014 and 2015. It seems to me this October 7th, 2022 meeting, which you've described as a red line, is just a misunderstanding. That after the U.S. attorney in D.C. declined to partner on the 14 and 15 charges, Mr. Weiss took a good hard look at those charges himself and ultimately decided not to charge them and therefore not to seek the special attorney status. He may have been right about that. He may have been wrong, as you guys make your case for, but it was his decision. Isn't that right, Mr. Shapley?
No, that's not supported by the facts.
Really? Well, which facts is it not supported by?
His own admissions in the October 7th, 2022 meeting that I documented contemporaneously. And if the only piece of...
But he contradicts what you're saying. Do you agree that? He doesn't agree with what you're saying about that meeting. Now, I wasn't at that October 7th, 2022 meeting, but while what was said at the meeting over 2.5 years ago may be a little ambiguous or unclear today...
Ooh. Well, yeah, it's, you know, because he said it. He refuted it. Dang! That was Shapley. Who refuted that? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. We're watching this ongoing House Oversight Committee hearing. And it's important because you've got the whistleblower X. So everybody knows Shapley. You got Shapley. He's the one whistleblower. Then you have whistleblower X, who is, you know, progressives. This is important to them. It's a gay Democrat married to a man. A man married to a man. Gay Democrat. And he's done. There was a clip of him using his hands, talking with... He is enraged. He's got a calm rage. That's a scary rage. But he's done with it. He's like, this is unequal application of the law. He's like, everybody should be... They're not. He's done with it. He's seen... And he's listened abuse after abuse after abuse. And then you've got... What is it? You got Lynch up there, who started... Couldn't, I guess, address the actual whistleblowers... So then decides that, well, let's just talk about, you know, Mike Flynn.
Yeah, Trump.
Let's talk about Trump. Let's talk about Manafort. Let's just do all this stuff instead. Because we can't really address the whistleblowers. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is wild. And by the way, you know, they're sitting here and they were talking about Mike Flynn. And, well, you know, he was guilty. He was guilty, but he actually wasn't guilty. Because remember what they were trying to get him on. They had asked him a question specifically about whether or not he recalled meeting with like some Russian whatever. And this was when he was part of the interim group. Because when after the election, then you have this interim group that the president puts together to facilitate a seamless transition into office. And he was part of that group. And they were trying to... refute that. I mean, it'd be the first time in the history of anything where we were denying a president-elect the ability to like get everything into place to facilitate a very seamless transfer. And Flynn, all he was saying was that he couldn't remember if he met this guy. Well, if he couldn't remember, the FBI deemed that he lied. And then they threatened his family. They threatened to go after his son. So they coerced him into taking an agreement with them. That's not justice, and that's not an admission of guilt either. I mean, no offense, but after that, after what happened there, I actually would not even work with our church's security group because there was an FBI person involved, and I didn't want to have it. Because with FBI, you just talk to FBI, and if they think that you don't have to be under oath, you can still be. It's still actionable. I'm like, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I'm that level of sus with this. So I'm like, no, can't. Mm-mm. That's what happened with him. For them to compare the two is asinine, absolutely asinine. They don't know what to do. Democrats do not know how to deal with these whistleblowers. What do you got over there? You got a treat. You got a little audio treat. What is
it? Well, it's just the Shapley stuff. Jim Jordan kind of lays out along with Shapley's testimony.
Oh, he's mad. That, yes, play this, play this, yeah, play this, so, play this. This is really good, too.
Office. These are your bosses, right?
That's correct.
Did Mr. Walden get back to you?
Yes, he did.
Remember what he said?
He said, thanks, Gary, you covered it all.
You covered it all.
Oh.
He didn't say, thanks, Gary, but you're wrong. That's not what happened. He affirmed what you said. You covered it all, and you laid it out. You spelled out just what you told me a few minutes ago, right?
That's correct.
What Mr. Weiss told you in that meeting.
Yes.
And when that goes public on June 22nd, last month, Mr. Weiss says, oh, I got to change my story. I better send a letter to the Judiciary Committee where he says, I stand by what I wrote, but I wish to expand. I wish to fix it. And then he had to further go further in July when he sent a letter to Senator Graham and said to clarify again. They've changed their story. You guys haven't.
Mm.
Dude, it can't be more obvious. Where's our media?
They're trying to discredit somehow this guy. They're trying to do everything possible. They were trying to get ahead of this yesterday, or actually Monday. They knew it was coming. They were trying to get ahead of it Monday. You had this. Let me pull this up. This is an Associated Press piece where they were trying to poop the bed of this, for lack of a better way to put it. They were trying to get ahead of it, and they used the scare quotes and all of this. They said whistleblowers claiming that the Justice Department improperly interfered with a years-long investigation into Hunter Biden will testify before Congress. They said Greg Shapley and a yet unnamed whistleblower X, who claimed there was a pattern of quote-unquote slow-walking investigative steps, end quote, into Hunter Biden, including delayed enforcement. It's quote-unquote whistleblower X, quote, slow-walking, close investigative steps, quote, scare quote. And, I mean, you had two of the people that are hit the most in this. So you have Weiss is U.S. Attorney David Weiss. So he's the guy who's basically being accused of acting like a toady for Merrick Garland. And both of these cats have given testimony to this same committee that completely contradicts the other. Unintentionally. Who's lying? Oh, I mean, you know, it's rhetorical, right?
If it's between people who have changed their story several times and the people who stayed consistent with their story, I'm choosing the ones who are consistent.
Because remember, Weiss was telling, when he had testified, he was saying that he was prevented from fully pursuing the investigation into Hunter Biden because he was not getting any cooperation from the attorneys in Washington and in California, right? And so he had been asked, was it Comer that asked him this? Or was it, I think it was Comer that asked. He was asking, well, why didn't you appoint a special counsel? And he was saying, well, I couldn't. He was like, I was unable to appoint a special counsel. But then Garland said the opposite. And so then Weiss came back and was like, well, yes, actually, I did have all the authority. Okay, so they're clearly, what changed and where are the receipts? I mean.
Exactly. Shapley has the receipts.
Yeah. Shapley and Ziegler have the receipts. Whew. And so one of the things that Ziegler was testifying to is this, all the LLCs the Bidens had set up because they were laundering money. They're all the family. How is this not obvious to everyone? Why are we still pretending that it's just business as usual?
It's absurdity.
Right? Why? There was no reason why they were getting this money. Randomly, millions of dollars from Romania. For what?
Expertise.
Yeah. Let's just put them in all of the shit. Let's just run them through all these LLCs and clean the money. Right?
Yeah.
One of the things that Ziegler noted, I believe, and I think this was one of the things, because Lorraine's keeping an eye on it, I think this is one of the things she noted too, is that he's not a Burisma guy. He's not an energy guy. The hell is he? Why is he with Burisma? Getting all this money through that? Wandering it through all these LLCs? There's no reason even why they would get them. All this money changing hands. Nobody knows from who for what. And none of it shows up in Hunter Biden's tax filings, which is why he's being investigated. I mean, I had the IRS asking, well, why is it that you paid this percentage on your home for interest? Well, because that's what the bank sets up. But no questions about this? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. Now, here's the crazy. Some of the transactions were actually allowed to sunset, from what I understand, under the statute limitations. They're beyond actionable. Some of them are.
That's by design.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on purpose, totally. Now, remember how one of the stories that I had, and I have a million tabs open. I'm pulling this up. One of the stories that I had was how he was tipped off. Hunter Biden and his people were all tipped off, right? When the search warrant, remember the storage thing that they had? Because that's one of the things that Shapley is apparently testifying to, how an assistant U.S. attorney in the case apparently told Hunter Biden's attorneys that there was going to be a search warrant executed for a storage locker. And the Associated Press in this piece literally states that that was customary. They stated in the piece that it was in cases involving high profile individuals, it's customary. Do you guys remember? Let me pull this up. Please bear with me again for a moment. Apologies. From March 28th, 2023. Matt Taibbi was visited by the IRS. Literally while he was testifying to Congress. Do you think that he was told? You know, I mean, the Associated Press says that in cases involving high profile individuals, that it's customary to tip people off. I mean, Matt Taibbi, a reporter, I mean, I've known him for a long time. We haven't always gotten along. He was literally on television testifying before Congress. I'd say that's pretty well known, right? Do you think he was tipped off, Kane?
Who, Taibbi?
Mm-hmm. Obviously. You think they let him know that they were going to execute that? They were going to show up to his house?
That's a hell no.
Mm. I'm curious. He was before the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Federal Government, and he was talking about Twitter. It was on March 9th. The IRS came to his house. Huh, that's really totally a coincidence, I'm sure. Totally a coincidence. So odd. I mean, the IRS has a history of being used by Democrats to target political opponents. Bill Clinton famously used it. I mean, he used it a lot. So that I just thought that was kind of interesting. You know, that it... I don't know. That's ridiculous to claim that. And apparently, one of the biggest things with this, that sweetheart deal that Hunter Biden was able to strike, he had serious felonies. I mean, he's charged with felony tax evasion. And he gets this super cushy deal where he's not going to get any charges on, no jail time for tax evasion. He's not going to get any jail time for the felony of fraudulently filling out that 4473. None? Oh, hell no. This is, I don't know why anybody else should pay anything into the Treasury if Hunter Biden gets to skate. You know? Just saying. I don't see why anybody else. I mean, when I see the law not being equally applied, I have no desire to follow it.
Natural.
And the last thing that the left wants is to make good people whose worst impulses can be constrained by ethics and law disregard both of those things. Those are the real FAFO people.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
I'm a Democrat. In the last presidential election, I actually did not vote. I thought it would be irresponsible of me to do so because I didn't want to show bias one way or the other.
Interesting. I mean, it sounds like, you know, he's... I think, you know, maybe pretty adherent to rule of law. There are sticklers like that. Thank heavens for them. But, dang, that's just... this is why they can't address them in any of the hearings. They just went to recess. They can't address them in any of the hearings because he's Shapley just, don't you get the impression from him? He's just like, yeah, really? Because here's this receipt and here's that receipt. Here's a coupon for this too. And here's also this receipt. Mm-hmm. Here's my Kohl's cash. Here's every, I mean, he's like one, two, three. He's got it. This is, you made a good point about Al Capone, yeah. By the way. Bring that up to folks.
How did they get him? How'd they get Al Capone?
Tax. That's tax
exactly
evasion.
Exactly right. Yet somehow this is Teflon Hunter.
What, I mean, what do they got? What does he have on? That makes me think that there is some serious, something serious is being hidden. If they're going to this extent to circle the wagons around this liability, I mean, there's been, you know, baggage dumped for less. What do they got on? What has he got on Joe? What's going on? To me, I just feel like there's something even bigger out there. I don't know. We're gonna recap some of this. You want to get the newsletter, Substack, chapter and verse. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, it's KJP. She delivers on this every day somehow. Listen to what she says here.
So we have seen results. We have seen real results from the actions that the president has taken to lower costs for the American people.
We've seen real results of what the president has done.
Yeah, we're broke.
And it's not good.
Yeah, everybody's broke. Now we're going to get interest rates risen. They're going to raise them again because they won't stop spending. Folks, that does it for us this Wednesday. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Get the newsletter. Find us on Facebook.